Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, the retired Sports Information Director at SUNY Oneonta and also the Chair of the Athletic Hall of Fame Committee. And today my guest is Reuben Prophet, class of 2003, as we will be inducting him into our Athletic Hall of Fame this coming June 8th, 2024. Welcome to the show, Reuben.
Oh, welcome. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
So, first of all, before we get real, started with the questions and such, on behalf of myself and the Hall of Fame Committee, we certainly want to congratulate you on a well-deserved honor.
Thank you. I also appreciate it. It's an honor, obviously. It's an honor to be inducted.
So now, so you'll be there with some of our other greats, I mean, I know you've been to some of the inductions from some of the other wrestlers or whatever. I mean, how does it feel to be included with those guys?
Wow, a lot of when I first received a phone call from you, a lot of feelings, a lot of mixed feelings came into the way because I'm like, I always thought these guys were, somewhat of a like a superstar, and them coming back just to say hello to us that, or just starting out in the college, it's I was at an awe to a certain degree to be like, wow, they really care about us. And they really want us to get to that point or to do the best that we can. And it's all of that all packed into one, just it's
Now,
all of that basically.
if my memory serves me correct, you're a first generation college student?
Yes. Well, technically, yes. I came to the States in 1989 when I was 10 years old. And my eldest brother was like 17, 18 years old. He kind of started college, but he was in and out. And he's kind of like a forever student right now. So technically, I was one of the few ones that actually started college and ended and stayed in college until I was completely done.
All that good. Congratulations. I mean, again, that's to complete that task, I mean, a lot of people don't. They start and they can't get through it. They give up. But certainly you had the determination, and I'm assuming that wrestling was a big part of that.
Well, yes, definitely. Definitely. Wrestling is one of the few like things that I had to stay focused because I really enjoyed the sport. I really enjoyed my teammate, my coaches, and they made me accountable because it's one of the sports, as you know. you gotta lose weight on your own. Your coach can't do it for you. You have to be accountable in that sense. So it made me accountable for everything that I do. And that's yeah that's that, that that's why I love it,
Why did you choose Oneonta?
Okay, well, Oneonta was one of two choices. It was Binghamton University, and it was Oneonta. Now, when I talked to my high school coach, which was his name was Joe Laporte, I wanted to first be like an accounting major because I thought I like math. And he's like, all right. And for some reason, I also wanted to wrestle. And I found it at Binghamton University and Oneonta at wrestling. So I was really interested in both of them. The first person that got in touch with myself and Coach Laporte was Al Sosa. So because there, of course, when we sent our a letter of interest, he was the first one to contact my coach. I'm like, you know what? Why not? Just like anything else, you just try everything once, right? As soon as I met Coach Al Sosa, that man was just like my high school coach. He basically straight shooter, tell you what he expects from you and expect you to do it, be accountable, just like I was saying about wrestling. That's the kind of sport it is, and that's the kind of person he is as well. And because he's just like my high school coach, I never even visited Binghamton University because they never really got back in touch with me. So I figured, since I sent all those letters, he was the first one to reach out and say, hey, took a shot. It was like, why not? I'll have a conversation. And that's what I did too. I had a conversation with him I came up to Oneonta for a weekend. I met him. I met his wife. I met his four daughters, and basically that whole family was very warm, very inviting, and I felt right at home. Basically, just having like a nice conversation with them, you know. And some of the I met some of the current at the time wrestlers, and ever since, you know, that was my first experience here, and that's why I wanted to. That's what made me want to be here, basically.
Well, we hear that from so many, former student athletes. They step onto the campus and maybe it's the campus or it's the coach or it's some of the teammates, when we do those recruiting, those recruiting weekends. So it really kind of fits along with a lot of what former student athletes have got to say about it. So you had a very successful, run during your career, All-American, national qualifier multiple times, conference champion. Like you said, of course, and you're still involved in the sport of wrestling, which we love. You're an ambassador for the sport, which is great because our name is attached to it as well, Oneonta. But can you talk about those years, the training, because the rules are different now. Certainly when you were trying to make weight and all that kind of stuff, there wasn't as many regulations, I guess you could say, maybe as there are now. I mean, so talk through that and how you prepared yourself for seasons.
Certainly. Well, my first year at Oneonta back in 1996-97 season, it's I'll put this to you. It was very difficult because I came from high school. I placed third at states at 19 in a 95-96 season at 98 pounds at states. I placed third. And the following year, I literally jumped three-weight classes because the lightest weight class at the time for wrestling, for college wrestling, was 118 pounds. So basically, I jump about 20 pounds. So as I explained to one of the girls I coach, we'll get into that a little bit. I went from being like a big fish in high school to a very tiny fish in college, you know. And so that the first year wasn't really difficult to make weight. And then I we our training regimen was a lot more rigorous in high school. So I gained well I because it was so rigorous, I was gaining muscle. I got bigger over the years, and because of that, I had to make adjustments, you know, so I can so I can get stronger, get bigger, get heavier, because it's hard to walk into the season at exactly 118 thinking that you're going to be competing against those guys that's losing 30 pounds just to make 118 pounds. So I had to get bigger, I had to get stronger, and I did. You know, at times it was difficult to make weight, but once I make it the first time, for the most part, it was all right for the most part, every season pretty much, you
Yeah,
know.
you got yourself into a routine and you knew what to expect of yourself and
Absolutely.
certainly Coach Sosa was was there to make sure you guys are doing it.
Yeah.
And now what year did now our current head coach, obviously Dwayne Ritter, who's still been with us for almost
Yes.
20 over 20 years. When did he come? Was he came after you when you
No, he
graduated?
came right at my senior year.
Oh, senior year. Okay. I was trying to figure out the
The
year he started.
2000-2001 season. 2000-2001 season. He came in as my grad assistant. He came out of my grad assistant. Actually, he came from Wilkes University. This is one of the shirts
Oh,
I'm
there
wearing
you go.
right now.
That's
You know,
right.
yeah, he
Successful
came.
wrestler.
Yes, he was. He was. Yeah, I'll let him tell you those stories. But yeah, he was a good. You know, he did well in college. You know, yeah, he came in my senior year, and he's, you know, of course, I had to learn. He had to learn about me. I had to learn about him. And you know, I had to learn from him. He had to, you know, learn, he had to kind of learn from me as well, because he has to know what my niche are, what I need to, you know, what I typically do, so that he's not concerned where I'm at on the mat. And I had to kind of like learn from him, like some things to make my weapons or my arsenal to be more broad, just so I could win those matches. Because he's, as my coach, his plan is always, hey, I'm trying to get you to win. So listen to me or pay attention to me and we all win, So we did a good job. I think I did a pretty good job
Yeah,
as
no,
well.
you did. I mean, your senior year is the year you were an All-American and you got to the kind of every, I mean, that's the goal, right? You want to get to NCAAs, you want to be an All-American in the sport of wrestling because it's so individual. I mean, like you said, I mean, you're the guy, it's you versus the person that you're out on the mat with. So, it's not a team sport, essentially. So, I mean, obviously you try to score points to help your team be successful, but it's an individual sport. So, campus life during that time, involvement in any other activities. I mean, what was the campus life for you when you were at Oneonta?
Well, the only activity I really did was just for the most part is wrestling, and I tried to I was also part of the EOP program. We did have a couple of meetings with various people, with various groups to do different things together. But I kind of mostly just went with my allotted meetings with the EOP program with a Bo, I forgot his last name.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. He actually was a graduate of Oneonta as well.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I could
Yeah,
talk about him
Bo
forever.
Whaley, Bo
Bo
Whaley.
Whaling, that's right,
Yes.
that's right. There you go, see?
Yeah, it comes back to me.
Yeah, so I went to a lot of meetings with him. They tried to get me in some clubs. I was a little bit when I didn't really in terms of joining those clubs, I didn't really it's not it wasn't really my thing.
Right.
Because like I said, I'm originally from Haiti. There's a lot of things that we're not just gonna do something just because it's what everybody else is doing. And I don't know these people. And actually, I almost went home like the first week of school when I first got here because I was just homesick because I'd never been away from my mother and my parents for 18 years, or let alone being away from them like over 2 hours, for an extended period of time, But yeah, I didn't really like go join those clubs, but I did go to those meetings. I did participate in some of them briefly, and then I just kind of just mosey on and just
Found
did
your
the
way.
wrestling thing and just enjoyed that part of college, and try to do my schooling, and that's pretty much it.
What are some of the highlights or memories for you during your career?
Well, there's a couple of them. Well, my one of my favorite highlights is my sophomore year when I won conferences. I wrestled this kid, Granger, Travis Granger from Binghamton University. He was really long, really tall, very strong kid. I mean, basically, he gave me a lot of issues because I'm only 5'1", and he's like probably easily 5'7" and up. It was just, and he was very strong. So I wrestled him 3 times. I wrestled him 3 times. I wrestled him. The first time I wrestled him was in the New York State Collegiate Athletic Championship, I believe that's how it's called. And I lost to him there 13-8 or 13-7. And I wrestled him in a dual meet about 2 or 3 weeks later. He again beat me. Like it was like 12-10, and the conference and in the conference tournament, he was the second seed. I was like the third seed or the fourth seed or something like that. Yeah, I was a third seed because I beat a lot of good kids that year. I beat him 10-4, 10-6 or something like that. What we all between myself and Coach Sosa my sophomore year, because I had a different grad assistant at the time. It was believe his last name was Brown. He was also a Binghamton graduate, a Binghamton University graduate. But anyways, what I figured out is like in the third period, I would always have more gas in terms of like I'd be pushing the action, trying to get him to trying to get my point, my score, my points. But he would always die down. Okay, in the third period, that's what that was my period against him to do all my catch ups. So what I because what would happen is the first and the second period, he scored all of his points. Like his first match, I wrestled him. I forgot what the action was, but he scored 7 or 8 points. I forgot what he did, but I just know that I was in my back for a couple of times, and I got out of it. And then by the time the third period games around came around, I was like, okay, I'm down like 10-0 or something like that. And I just kept going after him. I just took him down, let him up, took him down, let him up. That's why the score was like 13 or 14 to 7, because I just kept letting him up because he was just he had no more energy. But I couldn't get him to his back to finish the match. But so push forward to the third match, which was pretty much the same thing that happened the second match. This time was the second period. He got a through a flurry. He put me on my back and scored all his points. And then I had to do the same thing again, which I have that match on tape, the second match. The third match at the conference tournament, what we did differently, well, between myself and the other coaches, what we did differently is that the whole idea was to keep the match close. So either 0-0 or 2-2 or 2-1 or even 2-0, as long as it's not like 7-0 or 5-0. So the gap is that much smaller between the first and the second period, because the third period he had nothing most of the time, and that's exactly what happened. The third period came around, he had nothing. I just kept pouring it on, pouring it on, pouring it on, pouring it on. Needless to say, I won that match, and these coaches was very upset at him because they probably assumed that it was going to be an easy path to the finals because he beat me twice before, and he put a lot of points on the board as a result. And that was one of my favorite ones. The second one was my senior year in college when I was at Nationals. The kid that knocked me out of Nationals my sophomore year, his name is Jones, Mike Jones from Delaware Valley. When I went to Nationals my sophomore year, I lost my first match against a kid from York University. And then my consolation match, which was my second loss, Mike Jones, he basically did the same thing that Travis Granger did to me. He scored all of his points early, and I was doing my comeback, ran out of time. Basically, I shouldn't have let it happen, but we're kids. You know, we just do what we do, right? So, my senior year, pardon me. I met with him, Mike Shaw, Mike Jones, in the first round of the Nationals. He was ranked number two in the nation all year long, undefeated. And in my round of 16, he had a pigtail match, which is a round 32 match. And then I didn't have a pigtail match. So that was my first match at Nationals. And I basically did my thing, went after him, and just wrestled my butt off, and I ended up beating him 6-5. And it was I didn't I totally forgot that it was him that I lost to, my sophomore year in college. He was basically knocked me out of Nationals until like I got back to the hotel room, and I was literally like shaking in my head, am I shaking in the bed, because Coach Ritter and Coach Sosa was calling everybody back in Oneonta saying, "Oh my gosh, when the quarterfinals, when the quarterfinals." I just want them to just be like, "Be quiet, you know, just go in the other room, let me sleep, you know," because I had like 3 or 4 hours before my next match. But yeah, they just kept saying his name, and I was like, and I kept thinking, I'm like, "Wait a minute, that's the same kid that that beat me." So it was good to get to overturn that win, but I'm not sure it was so good for him because at the time he was a three-time All-American, and And yeah, he was All-American that year and 2 years after that. And then he came across me one more time, and it was just one match too many,
Yeah.
And that year he did not place.
Wow.
That
Wow. See, and
was
that's
on.
the great thing about wrestling. You could wrestle people two, three, four, five times in your career, and you get an opportunity to, do better or make some adjustments and, beat someone that maybe you lost to, like you said, you lose to somebody twice, but that doesn't mean you're going to lose again.
Absolutely.
So that I think that's the one great thing about wrestling. You always have an opportunity to do better and, overcome, something, you know what I mean, to get into. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those sports. It's one of those sports that you can beat yourself, obviously,
Right.
And if you basically, if you listen to your coaches and you listen to your teammates, or even watch tape, which I recommend, with some of my kids that I coach right now, you can see some things that's happening. And then
Right.
if you make those little adjustments, a lot of times those L's become W's,
Yeah. Yeah.
and that's what I kind of did those two particular time. I mean, there's been a lot more, but those were the really stand out moments.
Right.
I mean, and of course my blood round match, that was a crazy one.
Yeah.
We try to beat the crap we try to beat did the crap out of each other, basically.
Yeah.
It was a crazy one, but I came out on top, so that
Yeah.
was more fun for me, I
Yeah.
guess.
So, you've alluded a couple times to the people you coach now, and why don't we talk about your coaching? Because again, you've continued in the sport of wrestling. You want to give back. You want to, teach young boys and girls, men and what, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's kind of where you're at right now. Why don't you talk a little bit about your career and where you are now?
Okay. Well, right now, I am this. I work for Wilkes-Barre Area School District, and this year we just started a girls program here at the school, and I'm the head coach of the girls program, and they're doing very well. But when I first started coaching in Pennsylvania, I started with Wilkes University, where Coach Ritter went to. I helped out there, and we had several Americans over the years. Two NCAA runner-ups during my tenure there. And then I moved on to a high school called Coughlin High School. And we've had when I was in Coughlin High School, we had two kids in particular. One of them went to Harvard, the other ended up going to Lock Haven University.
Okay.
And both of them placed twice at states. One of them Josh ended up one time he ended up fourth place at state, and then he ended up second at state. Okay, and Bradley, which was a heavyweight for us, that went to Lock Haven, he was fifth at states 1 year, and then junior year, and then senior year was fourth at states. Yeah, we coached them up, and just like anything else, they had their struggles. We worked on them,
Yep.
and they got better. So that's the those are the well the, those are the first couple ones that I did
Right.
here. And now Coughlin High School, and then there's a high school that's called GAR, that's a local high school, and there's another one that's called Myers. Now the school that I currently work at right now is called Wilkes-Barre Area School District, like I said before. And those three schools now combine into one.
Okay.
Okay, so now they're all within Myers, Coughlin, GAR. They're now into Wilkes-Barre Area School District. Okay, so all three schools come out to this one school. So that's what I'm coaching right now. I coached the boys for several years.
Yeah.
It's again just it's a struggle because you have all these rivalry schools, because
Yeah.
not those boys from these. I mean, when I'm talking about local, I'm telling you, within like 3 miles of each other, most of those
Oh,
schools.
geez. Wow.
Like one of them is within a mile and a half. You could literally like walk to it, no problem. Both,
Wow.
all three of them, you could walk to each other's
Yeah.
school, no problem.
Yeah.
So they were rivalries, and then now they gotta be teammates.
Yeah.
So to get a full team. That was a little difficult because some kids said, I don't want to work with him. I don't want to work with him. I'm only going to come to practice if I start or whatever. You know, silly things like that, where me as trying to be, you know, a politician type of stuff, you know, like be like, hey guys, listen, okay, forget, get over it. You guys are not teammates. Let's just try to get each other better, and let's just make these other guys the enemy. You know, at first, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But right now, it's been this year. Right now, this is the third year that the school's been in operation. So the new crop of kids don't really know the rivalries, in my opinion, that those kids that came in 3 years ago had in the back of their mind. So now it's more of a union, you know, the kids have more, they have more of a friendship towards each other. And then now they can feel like they're part of something. And now the boys teams are, we're doing pretty good. They just made it to the district duels. Basically, it's kind of like sections, not section, I'm sorry. It's kind of like classes in New York. But they have like a state duel meet tournament, and before their individual tournament, which is in a month. So they just competed that. But we didn't qualify the state duel, we qualified the district duels, which means that we won enough league matches that we can go try to compete for a state title as a team. But this is the first year in a couple of years because again, the kids are fighting each other. They couldn't come together. Now they're finally coming together, and I think next year they're gonna do very well because they can see, all right, we're teammates now. And they don't have that chip on their shoulder from years ago, like, hey, you know, I don't like this guy because he's Myers, or I don't like if it's JR. But I think the kids are they're finally getting that part. But right, because also, like I said with the girls, we just started with the girls team this year, and I'm the head coach. All of these girls are literally this year new, except for one. And it's different to coach, it's different to coach girls, obviously. You know, they are easier in some, I gotta say, they are easier in sometimes. You know, they do listen a lot of times. It's just sometimes you just gotta like be able to find the right spot to basically tell them what to do. Or it's like, and I explained to them right away, I'm like, I'm not here to be your friend. You know, I'm here to be a coach. So I'm just gonna tell you the truth. Hopefully you take it with a grain of salt, and just I'm not gonna be mad at you for something, you know, for something that you said or did. I'm just gonna tell you the truth, tell you how you get yourself better, you know, how to pick up your activity, how to do this better, and then you just have to do it better. And that's it. I can't really just, we're not gonna do this, you know, we're not gonna go this back and forth. But that's the one thing I found out that works easier for me actually, because they do like to chat a little bit too much. You know, at times I have to, it takes a while for them to come back. When I give them a water break, it takes a while for them to come back to regroup and say, all right, we're gonna work on this position, not that position. But like I said, they're doing well. Since they are this year new, one of my girls, I'm very proud of this girl, literally. Her first name is Hope. And her little brother wrestles, but she's never wrestled before. And she started off where a first tournament per se. She was literally like, she won like one match. And we had to do a tournament. We had four matches. She won one match, and I bumped her up to the higher weight class because I didn't want to just go to a tournament and just get forfeits. You know, that doesn't make you better. I'd rather have her wrestle those matches. So the first tournament, she basically won one match, and she was just losing after loss after loss. She's getting losses after losses. At one point, she was 2-8 from the beginning of the season, 2-8. And I could just see in her face, like, I'm like, you're getting better. I'm telling you, you're getting better. trust me on this. And then she started coming after practice to lift in a weight room with me. So that's, I would typically do that just with one girl, but then she saw that, she's like, "Can I lift with you too?" I'm like, "Yes, you guys are always welcome. I always say that. If you want to, you can." So anyways, so from that point, from I believe it's the second or third week, from the second or third week of the season, the week started the early December, December 9th, I believe. That was the first competition. Now her record is 10 and 12. From 2 and 8 to 10 and 12. I mean, you could see like her eyes, you could see her, you could see the confidence she goes out there to wrestle every match. And I explained to her from day one, we're not here to, we don't care about wins and losses right now. We just care about what you're doing in practice. You're implementing those in the matches. You're fighting every position. You're trying different things, and you're doing the right things. And she's just basically buying into everything, and just doing everything. She's lifting with me. We have a good group of girls that just like being around each other, and I'm so proud of her. And I tell her all the time, she gets embarrassed. She's my champions. We have some better girls in terms of like their records, but for her too, because she's the one that started with like basically no, well, most of them had no experience except for one, but she started with no experience. Not her. Now she doesn't care about stepping on the mat. All she cares about, okay, I'm just gonna do what I do and then see what happens, which is what I was asked her to do. You know, so proud of her.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it seems like your wrestling experience, certainly being able to impart the, your wisdom and your coaching and all that on the various levels. And now I think the girls are certainly going to benefit from your experience. And it sounds like just in this first year, they've done that. So, I mean, that's certainly a big feather in your cap. I mean, you must go home feeling good every day, thinking you're making an impact.
Well, yeah, definitely, definitely. There. I'm gonna send you when this interview is. I'm gonna send you an interview that I did with the girls. It was in the. It's about 28 minutes. Well, anyways, it gives them a little bit of background on what they did. You might be able to use that if you want to. But anyways, yeah, it's amazing, like how much. It's amazing how much like I learned from them as well as I was teaching them. You know, I learned to just be very patient with a lot of things, because again, they're very new, and I have to slow down a lot. You know, because I can teach. I've taught the college level for many years. I've taught the little guys, you know, for many years, and this is just another hill to climb. You know. And they're doing very well, and I can't ask for more right now, you know. I think they're learning.
No, it sounds like it. So is there anybody you'd like to put forward or just say thank you to, you know what I mean? Like the people on campus that, were important to you to get your journey along and where you are now?
Well, first of all, Coach Al Sosa, I've told him this before. He was my father on campus, basically. I mean, he could say a lot of things to me that a father would say to a son, you know. And he's I love him. I love his family. Coach Ritter, his family. I love his family. I love him. As a, you know, as a person, and you know, all of you guys also, as well, you as well, Jeff, you know, you guys were always made me feel like you were always in my corner. You know, it's always like I remember coming to your office just because I was frustrated for nothing,
Right.
You just let me sit on the freaking couch, you
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
and just we just you barely knew who I was. You just like, hey, buddy, how you doing, or something like that. I don't remember. I just remember sitting on your couch, just like mumbling about something. You just say, hey, what's up? Everything good? Or like, I don't know, you know. But I just remember that you just made me feel comfortable. Everybody just made me feel comfortable that you're in my corner, and that was always a good thing to feel, because I think that separates, in my opinion, at least. I don't know about other places. I'm sure other places are good to other people. All I know is Oneonta always made me feel like I'm at home,
Yeah.
and people are in my corner, and I was cared for, and I could always ask somebody for, you know, for assistance,
Yeah.
and that always felt good, you know. You
Yeah.
know, of course, my parents, you know, their support was obviously different than, you know, than athletic support. You know,
Yeah.
my mother never drove. My father never really understood the sport. I showed him matches when I could get them on video,
Yeah.
when I went back to Nyack, where I went to school. You know, he liked it that I if he saw me winning, you know, you know, you know. But
Yeah.
and then I, you know, at times when I would lose, I would show him. He didn't really understand, but he still watched, you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, those are those are the main those are the main ones that I oh yeah, and of course, I'm sorry, some of the athletes that I came across, like Dustin Wynd, you
Yeah.
know. He was great. I never wrestled with him, but I did wrestle with his brother.
Yeah.
He was great. Tobias,
Yeah, Rory.
I worry, he was also great to hang out with, to work out with.
Yeah.
And one of the last ones that I just worked out with, actually just came over to my house a couple of weeks ago. Anthony Romero. Yeah, Romero.
Anthony. Oh,
He
okay.
just graduated last year.
Yeah. Anthony Romero. Yeah.
Actually, he came to Wilkes University to wrestle at the Wilkes Open. He texted me like a couple months prior to that. He's like, hey, can I crash at your house for a couple of days? I'm like, for what? Okay. You know, it's like, who asked that? But yeah, he you know, when I would come back, I'd work out with him.
Yeah.
You know, he was a great person to work out with. You know, there's a couple more. Mike Gregg, he's a
Yeah.
good he's a
Yeah,
you
right
know he's a
there.
great you know what, it's I don't think I'm doing everybody justice.
Yeah.
There's so many names,
Yeah.
I'm tripping over all the names. I mean, I worked out with a lot of kids. I would come back pretty much every year for the alumni match
Yeah.
and work out with some kids, and this is just some of the names. I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure I'm missing 1,000 names. I do apologize, but it's those are the people that actually, you know, made me feel comfortable there, and I want them to know that my journey is not, it wasn't just when I was in school.
Right.
You know, there was the parenting, you know, you guys like you, or Sosa, Coach Ritter,
Yeah.
those other athletes made me feel like I'm, you know, they're my support group, and prop me up when I needed to be propped up. Even
Yeah.
when I didn't think I needed to be propped up, they propped me up and said, hey, you're all right, you know, you can do
Yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And that's, I want to make sure that they get their flowers, you know.
Yeah. Well, again, we certainly, Ruben, you're such an ambassador for Oneonta. We appreciate everything that you've done as a student athlete, and certainly beyond that, because certainly your coaching career and legacy is just as strong, with the boys and girls and men that you've been coaching. We're just glad that we're just glad that you're from Oneonta and that you're a Red Dragon, you know what I mean? So we certainly are, proud of everything that you're doing, and certainly, it was a no-brainer to put you into the Hall of Fame. I mean, you deserve there. So, congratulations again.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You
Yeah, and
know.
we will definitely see you on June 8th, 2024.
Yes.
And we'll have a chance to see. I'm hoping that a bunch of the wrestlers will come back. Oh, there's one. The other day, I'm at New England College now, and we wrestled Southern Maine.
Yes.
Julio. I walked in
Julio
the gym.
Santiago.
I walked in the gym and I was like, Julio. And he looked at me and he was like, what are you doing here? And he knew I retired, but he didn't know where I ended up. Well, again, I didn't
Oh
know I was going
my
to end up at New
gosh.
England College either. But yeah, so I was like, oh my God. So we sat there and talked for like 10 minutes, caught up, laughed, you know what I mean? And then I told him, I said, Ruben's going in the Hall of Fame. You're going to be there, right? So yeah, he's
Oh my
excited as
gosh.
well.
Julio, I love
Yeah.
that guy.
Oh my God.
I met him in Delhi.
He was at Delhi before he transferred to Oneonta.
He's a great person. I mean, like I said, there's like I said, there's too many names
Yeah.
to give flowers to, and he's certainly one of them. He's one of
Yeah.
those people that he's always upbeat, always telling you, hey, you
Well,
can do this, hey, you can do that. That's why he's a great coach, you know?
yeah, we laughed. I couldn't believe it. It was great. So yeah, I'll get back in touch with him. He gave me his number, and I'll send out a reminder saying, remember, June 8th, put it on your calendar.
Oh, definitely. I would love to see him. You know,
Yeah.
he's a great guy. I mean, he's, oh man, there's not enough
I
to say
know.
about, there's
I
not
know.
enough words to say about him. He's just, he's one of those people that just loves life, loves people, loves wrestling, and just wants everybody to be better, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's why it was so great to see him. I was like, oh my, I was like, geez. So yeah, so he
That's
sends his
crazy.
congratulations as well.
Oh, thank you. Oh man. I can't
Yeah.
wait to see him. Hopefully he's there.
Well, I'll make sure he's there. I'm gonna get him there. So, well,
That
listen,
sounds great.
Ruben, it was great talking to you, and we're gonna see you in a few months. And you take care of yourself, and continue to make your wrestlers better, right?
Absolutely. That's what I try to do every day.
All right. Thanks again for joining us on the Ozone.